In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Today we celebrate the Feast of All Saints, one of the most beautiful, beloved, and unique feasts of the Church. It's one of the seven principal feasts, a major feast of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's unique in that the majority of the feasts of our Lord Jesus Christ are feasts centered upon events of His life, such as His birth at Christmas, His baptism at the Feast of the Baptism of our Lord, the resurrection, the Feast of Easter. Today's feast is the feast of our Lord Jesus Christ as He is known and lived in the lives of human beings. Is it no wonder that it tugs and moves us so? Is it no wonder that we love this feast and have for centuries? Because human beings are innately attracted to other human beings. That's why we love gossip so much. And the lives of the saints, the stories of the saints grab us and they quicken us. And so, one thing I want to say is that there's a difference. Often I think we wrongly confuse the two. There's a difference between perfection and sainthood. To be sure, many saints, I'm sure, live pure lives. But that's not what sainthood is. What is a saint? I love the story of the Sunday school class when the Sunday school teacher asked the children, who are the saints? And what? They couldn't answer. And one little girl thought, and she about sitting in church with her mother. And she thought about the stained glass windows and the people in the windows. And so she raised her hand and she said, the saints are the people that let the light in the church. That's all the theology we ever have of all saints. That is sufficient. This is the day that we take aside to think about the people in our lives who've let the light of Jesus in our lives. People who have served as conduits, not perfection, but they allow themselves to be open to be used by God. Some of the biographies of saints are the oddest biographies I've ever read. Some of them are probably missing a duck or two. But they allow themselves, they yield their hearts that God could put His love through them to others. And yes, to be sure, we remember the big saints today. We'll be naming them the litany of the saints following the baptism. But also, the big saints have their days throughout the year dedicated to them. Their saints' days and feast days. Today is also the day for the unknown, the forgotten saints of God. Also, maybe the saints only known to you alone. I think of my Sunday school teachers that took me from third grade to 12th grade. I only had one. And I think of her, how she let the light of Christ shine through her to me. Who are the people that allowed the light to come into your life that you know and love Jesus more dearly today because of them? This is the day. And sometime in the quiet of the day, to think of them, to say their names. Say prayer, have their names in prayer. And it is also a day, along with three others, what is it, baptism, Pentecost, and Easter, that is particularly appropriate for baptisms. And how fortunate we are to have a baby and a grown woman be baptized today. And remember, godparents, to tell that baby and death, and remember, that you were baptized on the Feast of All Saints. The only feast allowed to be celebrated on its fixed date of November 1st, in addition to the Sunday following. The history tells us that this feast is an ancient feast. Really, the roots go back as far as Christian memory, don't they? Because isn't it true that we always practice the memory of people we love who lit light in our lives? I think one of the most beautiful phrases, religious phrases there is that phrase, to practice the memory. It's what we do after people die that we love, isn't it? For the rest of our lives, we practice their memory. And today, formally, to the liturgy, the music, and the beauty of this service, this Mass, we practice the memory. Not only the people we knew, know, and have known, but the unknown, forgotten saints of this earth. It is a noble thing to practice a memory. But officially, it goes back to May 13th, the year 610, when Pope Boniface IV transformed the Pantheon in Rome into a church. Remember, the Pantheon was built originally by Marcus Agrippa to commemorate Augustus' victory over the famed Anthony of Anthony Cleopatra. The victory at Antium in 27 BC. It was dedicated to all the gods. But Boniface transformed it and dedicated it to Mary, the Mother of God, and all holy martyrs. And 28 Carloads of relics came to the pantheons. What a relic! The bones, the toes, the fingers, the teeth of past saints. Isn't that exciting? I think I need to get out more. And then 2 centuries later, it was Gregory the Fourth who transferred the date to the present date, November 1st. And we're not sure all the reason, but one reason was because Rome in early spring could not procure food enough for the pilgrims pouring into the city to celebrate this feast. And then he expanded the commemoration, not just for holy martyrs, but for all the saints, known and unknown, alive and dead. And from then until now, no wonder has it been a beloved feast of the church and a fun feast. And now, and this will be a short sermon, we have a lot to do today, but just a little bit about theology of the feast, recognizing that all the theology we know is the light in the church, it is sufficient. But there is a beautiful theology about the Feast of All Saints. What we do today is we venerate the saints. What is it to venerate something? We venerate icons. And I mentioned this, I think, before in sermons. An icon is a cross, a stained glass window, a statue, or human life. Imperfect as they all are, that draws our attention to itself and then to the reality it represents. Often from the outside looking in, people say, oh, you worship statues and crosses. No, we don't. We venerate them. One of the most beautiful services of veneration is on Good Friday, when we venerate the cross. One by one, the entire congregation lines up, and that cross hanging is at the steps, and people come one by one to touch it, to kiss it, or to kneel, or simply to pause before it, to venerate it. And they are drawn to the image of that imperfect cross, and then to the blood, the grace, and the love that it represents. And we leave the veneration more lovers of Jesus, more nourished as Christians. And that's what veneration does. And that's what we do to the lives of the saints. We think of their imperfect lives, but how they yielded themselves to let the light come to them. And that is the veneration of the saints. So today, we offer the best that we have. Most glorious, some of the most beautiful Christian music that's ever been composed has been for this feast. And we honor it with our presence, with these baptisms. And may we, through our meager efforts today, embody the words of the children's hymn that we sang at the time of the gospel. I sing a song of the saints of God, patient and brave and true. God help me to be one.